Today is Wednesday, February 1st, 6th day of the month of Shvat. This is the women's Chumash here with the end of Perek Yudbet of Sefer Bereishis.
Okay, Rabotai. We are at the end of Perek Yudbet of Sefer Bereishis. The end of Perek Bet, Yud Bet. Okay, so we know that Sarai has been taken into Beit Paro. Avraham became a rich man as a result. And now the Torah tells us in Pasuk Yud Zayin, we'll read till the end of the unit, till the end of the Perek. Vayinaga Hashem et Paro, Nigaim Gidolim, Ve'et Beito. And God afflicted Paro with great plagues, severe plagues, Ve'et Beito. And he also afflicted his entire household. Al Devar Sarai Eshet Avram. Simple reading on account of the fact that he had Sarai in his house. Vayikra Paro li Avram. And Avram was summoned by the king. Vayomer, and Paro says to him, Mazot asitali, what have you done to me? Lama lo higadatali ki ishtechai. Why have you not told me that she, Sarai, is your wife? Lama amarta achotihi. Why did you say, she is my sister? Vo'ekach ota li le'isha. And subsequently, I took her as a wife. Ve'ata, and now that I know to the contrary, hine ishtecha kach v'lech. Here's your wife, take her and get lost. Vayitzav alav Paro anashim. Paro designated people to escort and accompany Avram. Vayishalchu otove et ishtovet kol asher lo. And he sent away Avram, his wife, and all of his belongings. End of unit. So as we always do, let us start with Rashi, who chooses to inform us of an interesting medrash on the psukim that we just read. First of all, the phraseology in the beginning of Pasuk Yud Zayin, which we started with, is a little unusual. How would you rewrite the Pasuk stating, and God afflicted Paro and his household with Nigaim? Good, Nigaim Gidolim. Why God afflicted Paro and his household with great Nigaim? Why would I necessarily interrupt the phrase and say, God afflicted Paro Nigaim Gidolim and then his household? That's a very awkward way of saying it. But before we continue, I want to dedicate this year for a refuah shlema for a niece of Faye Weiss, who was having serious surgery today in Medinat Yisrael. And we hope that our learning will be a zechut, a merit, on her behalf, and everything should go exquisitely well during the surgery. Amen. So that's a question which Rashi will translate according to the Midrash, and then we'll see a more simple pshat, but we like to start with Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Vayinaga Hashem Pasuk Yudzayin. Bimin ro'atan laka shehatashmish kashelo. He afflicted Paro with some type of skin disease which made having relations with Sarai extremely painful. That's in the name of the Medrash. Ve'et Beito, and the phrase Ve'et Beito, targumo va'al anash beito. It doesn't mean literally that he afflicted the house. He means the people of the house. Okay, that's the simple pshat. But then Rashi assumes the midrash, and the midrash's point of departure is the question that Vivi just raised. That's what's bothering the midrash. What does the midrash say? Lirabot kotlav ve'amudav ve'kelav. What was afflicted? Not only the person, Paro, but the walls, his utensils, the poles. Tzara, exactly. There is such a concept even in Jewish law. We read it in Parshat Mitzora of what is called Nig'ei Batim, a nega that afflicts the house. So if you suddenly start noticing on your house a discoloration on the wall, so you bring a Kohen and the Kohen examines it, and if it has what is called Simanei Tumah, a classic sign of a nega, he asks everybody to leave and you empty the house of everything that can subsequently become Tamei. You empty it, and then he proclaims the house Tamei. Because if he's going to proclaim the house Tamei while the items are in it, everything is going to come Tamei. You're going to have to schlep all of your stuff to the mikveh afterwards, and that's a real pain in the neck. So he gives you a little time to make the pronouncement. You clear out what you want to clear out, and then he makes the pronouncement. Now, the way Chazal understand Nig'ei Batim is that that's the first warning that God gives when he's looking to strike at me and you personally. There are three levels. Nig'ei Batim, Nig'ei Bigadim, and then Nig'ei Haguf. So if you don't follow through after your walls, you don't change and mend your behavior, whatever the behavior has to be, then your garments start getting this unusual discoloration. Yes?
It's like in the tenth plague, as we recite them at the Seder Tzachadash Be'acha,
right.
The interpretations say that there are three series of warnings. First, I will afflict your household. Then I will afflict your surroundings. Then in your house, and then it will affect your body.
Right.
Also, in the sense of a warning.
Correct.
Coming close.
That's correct. That's correct. But here, in order to indicate that Beito is not as the simple pshat reads, the people of the house. That's the simple pshat. How does the Midrash understand that it meant the walls? How did you get to the word Beito? Because it's separated, it's isolated. When your Midrash sees something irregular, it comments on the irregularity. And it should have said, if it's referring to people, as it probably is, because this symbolism of a nega attacking your house will have very little meaning to Egyptians. It normally means ve'et beito. That's the 90% of the time the word beito doesn't mean the literal walls of the house, but it means the people of the house. Even in the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, the Torah says ve'chiper ba'ado uva'ad beito. It doesn't mean he should seek atonement on behalf of the walls. It means his wife, who is the Akeret Habayit, who is the mainstay of the house. That's who he seeks forgiveness on Yom Kippur. But here, because it happens to be pushed aside, there is something that alerts the Midrash. Well, maybe the word bayit here is not to be interpreted as it should, normally as people of the household, the court of the king, but rather the walls themselves have now developed this type of affliction. That's first point which Rashi says. And as you well know, Rashi's in love with the Medrash. And then he will continue. Al-Divar Sarai Eshet Avram. Why was he afflicted? On account of Sarat. Says Rashi. Rashi's not going to interpret it that way. The simple pshat means on account of. Al-Divar, meaning on account of. That's not the way Rashi interprets. Rashi interprets it literally. Al-Divar, al-Pi, Dibura. It was her statement that led to the affliction. Omeres lemalach hach v'humake. She told the angel, hit him. And he hit him. She told the angel, let him get some type of disease. And the disease takes place. So the Midrash translated that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to Sarai directly, and therefore it says, Al-Divar Eshet Avram. Even though that's not the Pshat. The Pshat means, on account of. Why did Paro suffer leprosy or various other forms of skin ailments? On account of Sarai, his wife. That's why, because she was taken to his house. You don't have to come to this business that there was an angel that Sarai recognized, identified, and she tells him, strike him. It's okay, but that's the Medrash. That's the Medrash. And I ask you, as I always do, what prompted the Medrash to come to such an unusual read? What prompted the Medrash? Yes.
It's not necessary.
The whole phrase is totally superfluous. You mean to tell me a reader would not understand why Vayinaga Hashem, in light of what we said to Psukim earlier, that she was taken to Beit Paro? We would understand that. Any child would understand that. Yes.
It doesn't really say how he found out that she was Avram.
Rashi doesn't address that. We will read it explicitly in the Ramban and others who have theories about how he found out. We will read it. That's why I gave a handout.
But that could be why he accepts that Midrash.
What?
Why Rashi accepts the Midrash that the Dibrei of
Divar, yeah.
Yeah, the Divar of Sarah. Maybe she told him.
Yeah, that's going to be one possibility. Let's see. Good. As I said, I like to start with Rashi. So now that you're at it, that you can't wait. So please take the packet. Save two of them. Okay, no problem. But yeah, I got plenty. Says the Ramban, Vayikra Beit Paroli Avram. The Ramban is going to comment. After he suffers these afflictions, these skin diseases, now Paro summons Avram to the palace. Says the Ramban on page 1. Yitachen, it is possible, because the text says nothing. Yitachen, ki bibo hanigaim, as soon as he was afflicted with these diseases, Pit'om alav va'al beito, that suddenly when he and his household, family members perhaps, were afflicted, ba'et asher lukha sara el beito, when coincidentally did this happen, when he takes Sarai into the house, hir her bida'ato lemor, he says to himself, saying the following, Ma zot asa Elohim lanu. What in the world has God done unto us? Vishoal ota, and Paro then asks Sarai, can you possibly understand why God is punishing me? Vihigida, and she told him, Kihi ishto. She gives away the secret and says, I am Avram's wife. V'lochein kara le'Avraham v'he'eshim oto. That's why he summons Avraham immediately and blames him. You made me and my family suffer. That's simple. That's simple. Or perhaps, alternatively suggests the Ramban, Ka'asher Amru Rabotenu, as our rabbis have said, Shirloka Beroatan, where it wasn't just any old plague. It was a skin disease which makes having marital relations very, very painful. Shaham Mishgal Kashelo. Mishgal means having sexual relations. V'choshash, and he suspected Kishema he ishtohi, maybe she is his wife. V'amarlo b'safek, now Paro summons Avram, still not convinced. Mazot asitali, what exactly did you do in setting me up? He's not sure yet. Lohotzi mipiv ho'emet. What does Paro want from Avram by summoning him to the palace? That Avram should admit the truth. Avram should admit the truth. According to the first interpretation, he's not summoning Avram to extract information. He has all the information he needs already. Why? Because Sarai already spilled the beans. He's coming to summon Avram to let Avram have it, that he is holding him responsible for all the suffering that's going on in his house, and therefore he's going to be shipped out of Mitzrayim pronto. Shipped out pronto. But here, according to the second interpretation, no. He just suspects something. He's not convinced. Apparently he never bothers asking Sarai, or Sarai is non-committal, doesn't say anything. And therefore he suspects it and calls Avram. Ki im haita achoto, if she indeed was his sister, haya omer, what would Avram tell Paro directly? Achosi, she indeed is my sister. Ve'omar, but now that he didn't say that, he said, no, she's my wife. Ve'ata, hine ishtecha kach v'lech, lirot, Mayidaber umayashiv al tochachato. Here's your wife. Let's see how he reacts to that statement. So it's Avram didn't say anything yet. Nothing. The Avraham shatak mimenu. Avram didn't say anything. Sarai didn't say anything. What famous halachic principle did Paro invoke? Shtika kahoda. You're silent, that means you're guilty. That's all. Silence is guilty. V'Avram shatak mimen v'lo heishiv oto davar meirov pachado. He was terrified what Paro was going to do. Tell me what you think he was terrified about. His fear that he expressed six psukim ago. That what's going to happen? That they're going to kill me. And they'll take you to live in the palace. There's no doubt. Oz heivin Paro, then Paro understood ki hi ishto kaasher chashav, as he had suspected. V'tziva alav Paro anashim lishalcham. And
why did he kill him anyway? Why was he?
It's an excellent question. It's an excellent question. And in fact, if you remember, I showed you a medrash last time where the medrash said that against the traditional notion, that Egyptians are steeped in immoral sexual behavior, that's the prevalent view in Chazal, that Medrash said that no, that they were modest, they respected someone else's wife, and therefore, because it was an inculcated value, what happened in Mitzrayim?
Killed the husband, so they could.
Okay. What?
They murdered, but they didn't.
No, they didn't murder anybody. Do we find any text that says that they murdered husbands to take their wives? No. Do we find any text that says that women were violated in Mitzrayim? No. We don't. So the Medrash, I thought I showed it. I know it.
Yes.
I meant, said, where did the Egyptians get this quality of suddenly being very modest? And they got it right here. This was apparently a trait of theirs. And that's why they didn't kill him. Avram misread the Egyptian community. Totally misread it. And his fear was not really realistic. Was unfounded. And therefore, Paro, instead of killing him, instead of going ahead and what, seeking retribution, he could have done, put him in jail, could have done something, just says, just leave. Good riddance. Goodbye, Charlie. Yes?
This explanation reflects a level of Yirat Shemayim on the part of Paro. Yes, it does. Why would
he say that to him? And it's not a shock, because from time to time, words of Yirat Shemayim are uttered by a Paro. It's not the same guy, obviously, but a Paro. As we read this week's Parsha, last week's Parsha, what did he say last week at the end of Barak? Hashem hu hatzadik va'ani ve'ami harisha'im. God is the righteous one. I and my nation are the what? Exactly. Sometimes he said, after Kinim he said, Etzba Elohim he. Oh, this is a finger of God. This is something that God is produced, because his Chartumim could not emulate it, couldn't reproduce the Kinim.
Also, he just had the experience of being punished because he was with Abraham's wife. So that would mean that he realizes that Abraham is special with Hashem, and if Hashem has the power, then even that personal reason, not just that we don't kill wives, but that we don't kill husbands, but that we wouldn't touch.
No doubt. Yeah. Yes.
I have two questions.
We'll take one. I wanted the other one.
Okay.
Go ahead. It's
based on the Rambam, where it says that one of the first sort of ideas that come across is that he asked her, and she said, yes, I'm his wife. So, you know, the whole time, Abraham was telling her, you can't say you're my wife, you can't say you're my wife. Like, what changed that all of a sudden...
What changed is she's in the king's palace, and she sees the look on his face, probably not terribly romantic at the time.
Okay, and then the other question sort of goes along with that. We know from reading the Torah that men had many different wives, and it was acceptable. But if a woman had many different partners, as we think Sarah had here, because Paro took her back to his house, how did that manifest itself, or doesn't manifest itself, or it just is?
Okay, so there are several answers to that. Number one, it is possible that they never actually had relations. It's possible that, you know, he may have, I don't know. Secondly, it was not, she didn't do it willingly, she did it under duress, and Avram's not a Kohen, so there are no halachic consequences to it. And thirdly, the more correct answer is it's before Kabbalah Satayra. So, you know, what applies then doesn't necessarily apply, you know, yeah. But it's a good question, yeah. Yes?
I think that in some ways Sarah may have felt, I mean, she was quiet. Clearly she didn't think this was a good plan, the lying, why are we here anyway? And the Ramban in general is very... critical
of Avram. Maybe she just had it. I don't want to continue playing the game.
She clearly had to fend for herself.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, we know later, we know this later. So she may have been very aware of even the metrics, maybe of her divine power, whatever, or, you know, mm-hmm. God. And so, she was left to her own devices.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nobody to... She's got to protect herself, no doubt. Good. Let's continue with the Ramban next line in Pasuk Yutet. Vo'ekach ota li li'isha. He tells Avram, this is what I was... You know, you didn't tell me, and now well, look what I almost did. Shehayah ritzono shetihye zot ishto hamolechet. His intention was to make her the first Queen Esther. She was going to be Queen Sarai, a Jewish woman who will be queen with a Gentile king. Lo tihiye pilegesh lo. She is not to be a concubine. She's to be his primary wife, who will now be the queen of Egypt. Vehizkir zeh ba'avur sheyodeh lo im hi achoto, kasher pirashti. And he mentioned this because he wanted to provoke him to tell the truth and see how is he going to respond to this. That's how the Ramban suggests the scenario.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I missed last week, but my question is, how did Pharaoh know that Avram was Jewish? Or whatever he was, he believed in one God.
He wore shtreimel. And what else? He looked Jewish.
And he did.
He looked Jewish. He had a bagel in his hand. Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. How did he come to know this God in the first place? Right. He knows God. Which God? Paro normally perceived himself as a God. At least in the Mitzrayim, Paro perceived himself as a deity. That's clear in the text. Yeah. Let's see. Yes?
Mordecai telling Esther to hide her identity seems parallel to this.
Very nice.
The jeopardy is great for the woman.
Yes.
It's to help others.
Yes, that's true. That's it. That's it. Right? Ain't Esther magedet et ama ve'et moladeta. Why? Ki chein tziva lo Mordechai. That's correct. Yeah. Now, while we're on that same page, look on the left side, and I think I don't agree with Ibn Ezra, but Ibn Ezra says, he's a little older than I am, and a greater scholar, Vayishalchu oto, says Ibn Ezra, derech livui bechavot. How was Avram sent by Mitzrayim? With an escort and honor and dignity. So they blazed the trumpets and had a whole procession. They had a police car, wailing with sirens, giving them a police escort out of Mitzrayim. Very nice. Why do I say I don't necessarily agree with it? Give me two possible verbs for sending somebody out of a place. No, but using the word, the root, Shin Lamed Chet. And Vayishlach, good. And what else? No, using the same thing. Vayishlach means he threw. Vayishalach.
With Noah,
good.
Boys.
Correct. What is the difference between Vayishlach and Vayishalach? They are both translated as what? And he sent. So why do you have two words? I'm not a grammarian. But Vayishalach is Binyan what? What Binyan is it?
Pierre.
Good. Binyan Pierre. What does it mean?
Exactly.
He was sent. There was not just he sent you away. You are sent. Exactly. You're angry. When you use the word vayishalach, you're exactly. There's a vendetta here. I'm getting rid of you. Not vayishlach. Okay. Vayishlach Yaakov malachim. Yaakov sent angels. Wasn't angry at them. Right. But Yaakov sent angels. He wasn't angry at them. Vayishalach is that what? There's a purpose here. I'm a little annoyed. I can't imagine why Paro would provide a measure of an honor god to accompany him, to accompany Avram, who just duped him and almost caused his family to suffer physical tremendous problems. What? Okay, he can make sure he leaves, but not an honor god. Livui bichavod. That's not just, Livui kavod is an honor god. What? I don't know. That's what I'm asking. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
He's been punished.
Okay.
Just for taking.
That's possible. Maybe if he doesn't handle Avram properly, if he does send him away in a rude fashion, what might happen? God will visit other punishments. That's very possible.
The next passage does say he commanded Moses to support him.
That's correct. Good. I'm not saying.
And he didn't take that.
Ibn Ezra. I'm not belittling it. I'm just saying the way I feel when I read the text. It tells me that he's a little angry here. Vayishalach. And I can give you other illustrations of that. Yes.
I was going to say, it could be because respecting a marriage was an important value of the Mitzrim. It almost shows the significance of power recognized his mistake and was showing you that, yes, I'm not only sending them out because they almost hit me, but I'm also sending them out with the legal code because I'm respecting the fact that this is a marriage and not a gift.
Okay. Perhaps.
I don't think he was sending them out of respect, but I think he's sending them more out of fear.
Right.
Is,
and then so ideally you don't send them with the wink wink code. You send them with a guard that sticks a spear in
there. Yeah, he's got a gun. Get lost.
Right,
he might be. It might be. I'm just raising the point. Yes.
But he also gave Abraham a lot of good things. He gave him cattle. He gave him gifts.
Correct.
And Abraham left with all of that.
We will see at the beginning of the. That's a very good point. That someone will say, I forgot who said it. That Paro could have, by right, asked for everything back. Because why did he give him everything in the? The text tells us why he gave. Ula Avram Heitiv Ba'avura. Only on account of her, that she was going to be with Paro, the next queen. But now that she's not staying, she can say he could have said, but he didn't. He let him keep everything. Someone's going to comment. That's a good point. Yeah.
Could he also be saving face? He doesn't want everybody to know everything that happened.
Interesting. That's an very interesting. Yes, you make a, you send them away with at gunpoint. People are going to start asking questions.
When you fire somebody from a job, you let your guards take them.
Good. Yes. Right. Just imagine. That's exactly when you're fired. That's what happens. They close up your locker. They tell you to take your stuff, and they escort you out of the building. That's good. I like that imagery. Yes. Your mother-in-law saying this also?
No, this is mine. Very smart. I'm taking this one. Couldn't he have wanted to get rid of them very quickly? Because the student gets rid of them, the student gets rid of the plate?
Yes, no doubt.
So get out.
No doubt, no doubt.
To defend his Ezra.
He doesn't need any
defense. It wouldn't be either or if you saw it as parallel to when they went to bury Yaakov. And he sent a levoy with Yosef and his brothers.
Yep.
So all those guys, it was to look like honor, but it was to make sure they came back.
Right.
So it's
a camouflage.
To look like
it's just looks like to make sure that they leave. Right. Now, I like the analogy.
Sorry, I just have one more question. If Paro thinks of himself as a god, and he has to appear powerful to his people, was he afraid of showing that this god was more powerful?
Maybe.
At times, yes. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we see that in the Paro God also. He was afraid to acknowledge to his people. Yeah. In fact, Chazal say, on this week's Parsha actually, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to harden the heart of the Egyptian people? Not only ki ani echbadati et libo, but it's with Lev Avadav. Everybody else. Why? Because they were ready to cave in a while ago. But he didn't want them to sense that he's the only one, who's the only coward who's not going to cave into God. And so if they cooperate, everybody, no one wants to cave into God. So, yeah. Turn the page to page number 2 for a minute. And let's take a look at what Sforno says. Sforno Sfarno emphasizes the speaker in the pasuk is Paro to Avram. So if I speak to you and I have a charge, an accusation, you don't have to say, why didn't you tell me? Because you're talking to me. I'm talking. Why does it have to say, Lama lo higadita li? Lama lo higadita sha'achosihi? That's what Sfarno is going to be concerned with. And he's got something to say. It's not the most compelling question in the world. But let's see what he says. Lama lo higadita. Shegam im hayita choshed et ahamon. Even if you correctly should have suspected the masses that they might kill you in order to take Sarai, lo haya lachshod et hamelech. You should never what have been concerned about the king. Listen how we describe asher b'mishpat ya'amid eretz. It's a phrase taken straight out of the Maaser from Rosh Hashanah. And b'mishpat ya'amid eretz. King, he represents the law. Right? Of course it's just the opposite. Because he has no boundaries. Exactly. But that's how, therefore, what's the emphasis? Loma lo higadata, loma higadata li. It's me who I'm upset about. But you said to anybody else, doesn't bother me. I understand that. But to show distrust for me? What are you, Rip? Yeah.
I think the reason why he's pounding is because he says it twice.
Okay, I'll take that. Yes, that's very possible. Yes.
Why does why does he say, what have you done? Why did you do this to me? And Abimelech says, why did you do this to us? Why is he's concerned just about himself?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Don't know. I'll look that up by the time we get to it, which will mean a couple of years. Okay. It's in the middle of Parshas Vayera. That's next part. Yes.
When he says this, I don't people, the Mitzrayim take their cues from their king? They didn't, if the king does it, it's okay for us.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was.
Yeah, it's the opposite way, yes. It's a good point. Good point. Continues the Sfarno on Pasuk Yutet. Lama Amarta Achosihi, and here he has a good point. Afilu la'achar shuhuvet lebeiti. You know, Mr. Avram? You know why I'm annoyed at you? Okay, you told her to say you're my sister when you're walking around town. But after Sarai was already taken to the house, what should have been running through your mind? That she's mine. Why didn't you come running in at that time and say, you know what? She's my wife. But you said nothing, even though you knew what eventually is going to happen. So I, Paro, surmised that if you're not coming, maybe you indeed are telling the truth, believe it or not. Maybe she is your sister. So it is possible. We don't know.
And
again,
Sfarno also says, doesn't he, that? And I thought you would be thrilled if I were taking her.
That's correct, right? Because I again, he repeats that it was not designed to be a pilegesh, but a wife. I thought you'd be honored. Her king of Mitzrayim wants to take your wife. Correct.
Your sister.
Your sister, exactly. Turn to page 3 for a moment. Take a look at Sfarno on Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayina, he also reacts to the split of the word ve'et beito after the phrase nigaim gidolim. Vayinaga Hashem et paro nigaim gidolim, then ve'et beito. He says, et paro levado bigdolim. The punishments were not equally distributed. Paro had enormous suffering. Et beitol, that was only moderate suffering. Natan nigaim gam bebeito, avolo gidolin kishel paro. So therefore, in order to highlight that, it splits it up. Vayinaga Hashem nigaim gidolim el paro, and then et beito, others. Vizehe lema'an yu shahatzadeket livada nimletet v'yakiru shahakol haya ba'avura lema'an yashuvim erusham. Why does only Paro suffer the very severe afflictions? Because they wanted everybody to know this wasn't suddenly a disease that people contracted, and it just happens to be b'mikre that everybody contracted a disease at this particular time. It wasn't a natural occurrence. But this was on account of Sarai. How was that reflected? Everybody gets one level, but Paro, who's got her in the bedroom, gets far more severe a punishment. Everyone will be able to understand what's happening at that particular time. Then on the bottom of the page, the Kli Yakar asks a very simple question. It says in the text, Vayinaga Hashem nigaim gedolim ve'et beito al divar Sarai eshet Avram. Ask the Kli Yakar. V'chi adayin lo yadanu shesarai eshet Avram? You mean to tell me we don't know that Sarai is the wife of Avram? Why does the Torah have to say? It should say al divar Sarai. Why emphasize Sarai eshet Avram? The ode, ma pisho shel paro. What exactly was the transgression of Paro? Hare savur shehi achoto. How can you blame him? How can you blame him? Umashapiresh Rashi. What Rashi said, al divar Sarai sheomeret limalach hach v'hu makeh. Lo niskar ba pasukach. Pasuk doesn't say anything about angels standing there. Doesn't say anything. That's an obvious one. But it's funny that he should be asking it, because if you know the Kli Yakar, he's not exactly a pashtan. He buys into all of these midrashim and kabbalistic stuff, and so it's a little unusual that he should. Hey, the text doesn't say. The text doesn't say 90% of stuff that he proposes. But okay. Al kein nir'eh lefaresh. Therefore, it appears to me, afal pi shebifnei hahamon am. Amra sara achote ani, even though I believe that to all the people on the street, what did Sarai actually say? I am his sister. Mikol makom leparo higida ha'emet. She volunteered the information right away that what? Shehi eshet Avram. That she's his wife. Bechashva, thinking, what's running through her mind, Shemelech Yoshev al kisei din lo yaaseh ovel. Al kisei din lo yaaseh ovel. That a king sitting on the throne of justice is not going to corrupt justice by taking a married woman. So she, as soon as she gets into the palace, she's already volunteering information. That nonsense is a bunch of bowling. That I'm his wife. Uparo lo hishgiach ba. Exactly. He didn't want to hear this change. Ki omar lidvarecha harishonim ani ma'amin. I believe everything that you said the first time because nobody compelled you to say anything then. You're just walking. That was like we call masiach lefitumo. You're just talking without realizing the consequence. You just said, why do you have to say anything? You know, why do you have to say that you don't? So I believe that. Al kain nag'o Hashem al divar Sarai, page 4, on the bottom of the page, bishvil dibura shel Sarai, God punishes Paro based on the words of Sarai. Which words? Eshes Avram. I am the wife of Avram. And he refused to believe it. That's what it means. That's very, very creative. That Vayinaga Hashem Nigain Gidolin, God afflicts Paro with great plagues. Why? Aldavar, based on the word that I am Eshet Avram. Because initially she said to everybody else, Achoti, I'm Achoto. And Paro said, okay, I'll believe that.
It makes sense that she would try and get out of what she knew was eventually could possibly happen. So by saying that she was a slave as opposed to a sister, she could maybe, if you believed her, get out of
if what?
The relations that he eventually would want to have.
Right. If she was the sister.
Right. So if she didn't want to have those relations, she could be saying she's the wife only because she wants to get out of home.
That's very possible. That could be running through Paro's mind. That's correct. That she's using this to fabricate a story. That's correct. But the real truth is what she told people innocently. Correct. The Amar, just one second. The Amar Paro le'Avram, Lama Amarta Achosihi, Ki lecha hayiti ma'amin velo la. I would have believed you, not him. Not her. Ki chashavti, exactly what you just said. Ulai omeret kain kidei lehinat sale min hatashmish shehu below ishut. That perhaps just to get spared, not to have to go to bed with you without being his wife. That's why she said it. But if you had told it to me, I would have believed you. Di davar acher, on a second term, al davar sarai eshet avram lefi shahaita eshet ish al kain ba'olav nigaim ge'elav. Okay, that's the simple reason. But al-divar means not on account of, but on the word. Her sudden change, the reversal of the story. So as you can see, as is so abundantly we learn every time in Chumash, the text says so precious little. So little. And we now have to try to fill in what exactly happened in this little episode of three psukim. There's so many different possibilities. That's the beauty of learning Chumash. That's the beauty of learning it. That the Tanakh doesn't give you every last detail. Doesn't give you every last detail. Gives you little glimpses of what's happening, and it's now our charge, and that's what the Parshanim may have, and that's what our responsibility is. What we can say is just as valid in these narrative stories as anything that Rashi says, anything that the Ramban says. If it makes sense, it could be the absolute truth above what everybody says. Not in halachic matter, but in narrative, we have as much liberty as anybody else. Yeah. Yes.
I was thinking maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the plagues or whatever, the diseases to Paro and the household to protect Sarah. Yeah. Because he knew that she was married and didn't want necessarily.
Yes, no doubt.
Brave.
No doubt. Turn to page 5. Yes, question. Okay, so his story would be predicated on that he had not yet violated her. You'd have to say that. You're right. You have to say that. Take a look at an interesting midrash which portrays Sarah in Beit Paro in a most unusual fashion. Says the midrash, V'chol otai halayla hayta Sarah Shtucha al paneha. That entire night, Sarai had her face buried on the ground. The omeret, ribon ha'olamim, rabbeinu shel olam. Avraham yatsa behavtacha, va'ani yatsati be'emuna. Avraham left his hometown based on a promise that he heard you say. he heard you directly. I didn't hear that. Why did I leave? Because I had faith that Avraham was not lying, and that you indeed told him. This is an idea which is incredibly important. Incredibly important. We're going to learn in a couple of years the end of Parshas Vayera, which is the description of the Akedah. What is the name of that episode? Akedas Yitzchak. Not Akedat Avraham. Not Akedat Avraham. Now, we don't know how old Yitzchak was. The Medrash tells us he was 3 years old. Okay, 3 years old. So who would find going a three-year... Just imagine, you might know what a three-year-old is thinking. Does he have any comprehension what's going to be happening to him when he's traveling with his pop to the mountain? Absolutely not. So who is the great... Who is the great warrior? And indeed, it's one of his nisyonot. According to some, the final and last. Not everyone agrees. But some say, the most commentaries believe that the Akedah is... It's Avram's 10th and most final, the final triumph. Ata yadati ki yirei Hashem ata. Now I know you're a God-fearing person. Yet, we don't call it Akedas Avram. We call it Akedas Yitzchak. In our davening of Rosh Hashanah, right at the end of Tfilat Zichronot, Va'akedat Yitzchak, Hayom berachamim tizkor, Baruch Ata Hashem zocher abrit. Why? Because I would tell you that if God communicated directly to any of us, and you were convinced it was the Ribbono Shel Olam, we'd all take our kids to an Akedah. If we were convinced that it was the Borei Olam, we would take our kids to the Akedah. So for Avram, he heard it directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yitzchak didn't hear it from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He heard it from Pop. Pop? The Ribbono Shel Olam said that you should kill him? The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't tell anybody to kill anybody. That's ridiculous. So sometimes pure emunah, as opposed to hearing it directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is considered of greater significance simply by expressing faith. Expressing faith. And that's why, I'm going to elaborate on this for a second, many people believe that it's a very famous phrase. It's called Nitkatna Hadorot. The generations have gone down on their spiritual level because, after all, God performed miracles for the earlier generations and there was prophecy, and today we don't see that. I really believe it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. You know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to have prophets and do miracles? Because they didn't have the experience of 3,000 grandparents who said, I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to prove himself. Now, no one here observes the Shabbos because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come down and, do a miracle. You know why we observe the Shabbos? Because your parents observe the Shabbos and your grandparents observe the Shabbos. That's why. And we don't question it. We don't question it. And as a result, the lack of direct interference by God is considered of greater significance than not. And that's what Sarai argues. Avram Yatza Behavtacha. He heard it from you. I didn't hear it from anybody. I just proclaimed my faith in you. Be'emunah. Avram Yatza Chutz L'Sira. Abraham emerged out of the cauldron when he was thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh. Va'ani B'tocha Sira. I'm in the cauldron right now in Paro's house. Omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol ma sheni oseh bishvileich ani oseh. Anything that's about to happen in Paro's house, it's on account of you. V'hakol omrim al devar Sarai Eishes Avraham. Everybody knows it's your merit that I did, not to protect your hubby. It's your merit that I'm reacting this way against Paro. So the Medrash tries to portray, this dialogue that Sarah has together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pleading on her behalf. And I think it's a very important imagery. Ani Avraham behavtacha va'ani be'emuna. So think about that when it comes to Akedas Yitzchak, and in general, why it might be that we are even on a more exalted level than generations that had been privileged to see Kriyas Yamsuf and things of the like. We'll stop here. Continue next of us. Start Perek Gimel next week. You're welcome.